Welcome to Fuel, an AFC podcast for propelling your leadership journey. I'm Joe Mahalik, the Propel Leadership Development Program Manager. Propel strives to develop leaders who write, speak, and behave consistently with a heart of service. Each month, Fuel gives you up close and personal access to NAFC thought leaders who have been there, done that, and are ready to tell their stories, ready to invest in you. So whether you're interested in learning what leading's all about, or you've been a leader for years, we're all on an ongoing professional journey, which requires Fuel.
Let's jump right in with Matt Sermon, the Executive Director of PEO Strategic Subs. So Matt, the first thing I discovered when I took a look at your bio was that we actually have something in common, and that is that we both served, although you were surface and I served on submarines. And now you're helping out the sub community, which I think is kind of cool to go from surface to this submarine support.
West Virginia was my big Ohio tour. And then I'm trying to think which one it was. It was New Virginia. It would have been Washington that I spent hours and hours and hours on. Actually got in the way on her too. Believing that you can't truly lead in the space unless you understand enough of what's going on technically. But I was able to work my way through that and leverage what I'd learned on the acquisition side and on the ship design and you know, contracting side, and right. You know, really got involved early in my time in subs, because I think there was undoubtedly an element of when I got over, made the leap across the street, as I call it, from 197 over to the submarine community. There was undoubtedly an undertone of, hey, what are you doing here? Right. We have the deputy program manager for Ohio replacement. Our most important program is a surface guy. And you know, what I tell people all the time, and I apparently have a Forrest Gump like penchant for it, is to kind of jump in and see where there's a shortfall in terms of attention or something that nobody's really an expert on, that you can jump in and help, and you can row, right? And I was able to do that pretty quickly in Columbia with the Navy Founder Propeller Center up in Philadelphia, where we had some real serious facility sustainment, growth, and transition from just building Virginia to building Virginia and Columbia's. Had some real serious issues, and I was able to kind of jump in and start leading that within just a few weeks. And honestly, it was a perfect opportunity to become an expert on something, or close enough to an expert to be a leader on something that not a lot of people fully understood. And, you know, I've been able to do that throughout my career, as I said, kind of in a Forrest Gumpian lucky way. And it's been good.
So, Matt, thanks for being on with us today. I know your schedule is extremely busy and you're doing really important work. When we first started talking earlier, I mentioned that I did a little bit of research just to kind of know who you were and where you're coming from. So you're a Naval Academy graduate, nuclear surface warfare officer. You've spent most of your civilian career at Washington Navy Yard, and you've been a senior executive for arguably the three most challenging years to lead through in recent times. And I'm sure that's created even more tenacity and resilience on your part, and probably that's part of your leadership DNA. But I'm also sure that you've experienced difficulties, that you've made personal decisions, professional decisions along the way, and you had to learn to become comfortable being uncomfortable. That's a story that we all can relate to. Maybe what I said before isn't everybody's journey, but it's your journey. The thing that we probably have in common is that we all have to learn to be comfortable being uncomfortable. So what difficulty did you experience or challenge did you face along the way in your career that helped shape your style of leadership, or maybe it's become a point of passion for you?
Yeah, thanks for that, Joe, and really appreciate being on with you, and appreciate what you're doing, and you know, look forward to supporting your Propel efforts however I can. You know, maybe already a little bit of a twist from what I thought I was going to talk about, but it, it really does launch me down. You know, the way you asked that question really does launch me to just one place. And I'll quickly transition from that place into what I'll call leadership philosophy. But for me, the before and after leadership story for me, is for better or worse, centered around my first deputy program manager job in PMS 326 International Fleet Support Office. So kind of stepping into a significant leadership role in an organization of about 50 people, working with about 100 countries that are partners in the surface warfare community, doing some incredibly important projects across the globe, some of which have national attention. And, you know, that team is really coming together, really working hard. And then quite frankly, September 16th of 2013, the shooting at the Navy Yard, right? That's my before and after leadership moment. I think before that, I was mindful of my team and I was building relationships, which is really important. And we were focused on objectives, which is really important. And, you know, I was continuing to build my leadership skill sets. But then, you know, that week after the shooting, and those few days after the shooting, where I had to go stand in front of my team again, who was very much at the epicenter, or one of the epicenters, a couple of epicenters of what happened in Building 197. Everyone had their own experience. Even people who weren't there had their own, as lots of folks know, had their own kind of experiences around not being there. So everyone in the organization was in the midst of some sort of emotional and professional kind of challenge, including myself, right? Including me, who found it really valuable at that time to get some help, to talk to a psychologist and a psychiatrist that the Navy provided, and got me through the immediate trauma associated with that day. But then the leadership piece is, right, how do we get back to our business? How do we fundamentally take care of ourselves? How do we foundationally adapt as an organization to how that felt? I got to thinking about organizational culture a whole lot more than I had in the past, right? I had, one of my two, that organizational culture is one of my two passions that I'll talk about. The other one is our industrial base, and I'll also, I'm sure during this, find a reason to talk about why that's so important that leaders step into that right now at this moment. But I would call it healthily obsessed with organizational culture and resilience in the aftermath of the shooting. And those became watchwords, everyday kind of thoughts for me, right? And in that time, I mean, I remember Googling in the 24 or 36 hours after the shooting, Googling like, hey, resilience, like what are like really the no kidding academic elements of it? And it's not that I hadn't heard that before, or hadn't studied it in a master's, in a leadership class in my master's degree program or anything like that. But I hadn't really spent time thinking about how it applied to my day to day and to an organization that I was leading. Right. And as a, we talked about values, and we talked about realistic optimism. We talked about the ability to adapt. We talked about self-efficacy. We talked about the rich relationships with coworkers and with leaders and mentors, and all those things that build the foundation of resilience. And you know, in other words, pretty much every day, thankfully there aren't many days like the shooting. But in our business, where we execute projects and programs that have thousands to millions of independent events going on around them, be it cost, schedule, performance, requirements, policy, whether we have a budget or not, on and on and on, right? Millions of independent events, lots of things are going to go, even if it's going kind of okay, lots of things are going to go wrong. And our ability to absorb those things going wrong and carry on, right? And again, not all of them in the context of a shooting, but in how an organization comes together, right? And does its job every day, really became a passion for me. You know, and the quote I always use when I'm talking to a group about resilience is from the great 20th century philosopher Mike Tyson, who said, you know, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face. And I think it applies vigorously to our acquisition community and to the, whether it's technical, logistics, budget, whatever, it applies. And so that led me to really three things. And I admit I'm borrowing these from the author Daniel Coyle and his book Culture Code. The three things I center around, because I think that they can reach across resilience, they can reach across culture 101, and they reach across how we behave day to day, are safety, vulnerability, and purpose, right? Psychological safety, the ability to give feedback, the ability to say, hey, I don't think this is gonna work, or even say good things as well. The good things are easy. The ability to ask questions when it feels awkward, right? And I, you know, you talked about being uncomfortable, right? I grew up, for whatever reason, personality-wise, I really want to be liked. I really want everybody to say, man, that's a good guy. And he, and, you know, and I just love him. I want to be loved. And I've had to learn, and really, the job after that one on DDG 1000, as a deputy program manager there, where I had to learn to say no a lot, was really instructive to me. But, you know, I've had to learn myself to say, hey, I'm going to step forward. I'm going to raise my hand. I'm going to say no if I disagree. I don't believe that we have the luxury of just going along in an organization and being successful in the challenges and threats and international environment that we're in. And so, you know, psychological safety isn't just about the cultural piece. It's about performance too, right? Diverse set of thoughts, diverse set of opinions, being willing to speak up, feeling safe, feeling valued when you do that, all crucial to an organization. And I strive, and you know, some days are better than others, but I strive to make that a centerpiece of my interaction with my team, with my leadership. And so absolutely crucial. Vulnerability is the second one. And vulnerability really is the, you know, as Daniel Coyle describes it, empirically, right, really through surveys and through what works and what doesn't, we find out that most people don't really want Superman or Superwoman. They don't want the person who comes forward and says, I know everything, do exactly what I say, I'm going to lead everything, I'm going to plan everything, trust me. There are moments when people have to step forward and drive something, but as an organization, what people value is someone who says, hey, I don't know. What do you think? How would you recommend doing this? Hey, we've got a problem here. Hey, I made a mistake. I apologize. I'd like to rethink this. You know, I have faith in you. How could we do this better as a group? All of those kind of things, right, that are the opposite of this this grand battlefield leader model that we maybe have in our minds as we enter these professions. And I've found that to be absolutely true, that vulnerability works. It's not always comfortable. It's, you know, I don't love explaining that I made a mistake. But I have never found it to fail me in terms of how an organization or team or my relationship with somebody who's important to me and important to our work goes forward. The final one there is purpose. That one's pretty obvious, or at least I think it should be. But in reality, creating the connection between the incredible importance of our work and the people who do it and who do tasks that can run from mundane to extraordinarily complex, we don't always do a great job. I don't think it's been my empirical observation of driving home how important the work that the NAVC and PEO world does for national security, and how binarily important many pieces of it are, and what a calling that can be.
You know, I really do appreciate that. And thinking about being a new leader, what can I do about organizational culture, and what I could do to invest in myself to get ahead of some of those things that you're passionate about?
Thanks for that. A couple of things, right? I do believe strongly in reading. I do believe strongly in following what people are saying, right? You know, be that, you know, ranging from Harvard Business Review to The Economist to Bloomberg, and I'm not trying to advertise, but like to Politico, frankly, right? Paying attention to what people are saying, paying attention to trends in our environment. And quite frankly, you know, reading the what I'll call the, you know, the management canon, ranging from Peter Drucker and Stephen Covey to more recently, I mentioned Daniel Coyle and Culture Code before, Team of Teams by Stanley McChrystal and Carol Dweck on a growth mindset, right? Mindset is the name of her main book there, but those things and those books are sort of underlying, you know, safety, vulnerability, purpose, transparency, being able, you know, safety's inside safety is having those tough conversations. Those are the things that I embrace every day. I would really, or try to embrace every day. It isn't perfect at all, or even that close. I would say, though, as importantly as, you know, don't model what I've done, or don't model who I am. God help me, ask around, ask my wife. Don't model who I am. What's important or underlying in there is really write down what you've learned. Write down as things become concrete for you. You see a good example, see a bad example. God help us. You have successes and failures, right? Though Hyman Rickover said, success teaches us nothing. Only failure teaches. I think maybe I disagree like 10% with that. That in other people's successes, you can learn some stuff. But that failure, wow, it's a really robust teacher. I started this, frankly, after the shooting, to go back to where we started. I started writing down what I thought was important, right? Purpose things, putting people first, meaning it, proving it, showing it, not just a punchline, right? Importance of communication, and you know how it's not possible to overcommunicate, and how any culture survey, any personal survey we do, you know, two things are consistent. People will tell you that the organization doesn't communicate enough, and it'll tell you that they're not clear about their roles. So focusing on those things is something that we absolutely have to do. And I wrote that stuff down, and I keep myself three or four pages of their slides, right? And that are like, here's kind of my leadership foundations. I think for the audience, do that yourself, right? Write down what you believe, what's important to you, what your focus areas are. I also write down in there, you know, snippets from my mentors on how to do business, right? Things like solve the technical first, challenge every requirement, follow the money and know the numbers. That's from former Secretary Sean Stackley. Know your product, know your industrial base, know your contracts. Build a big team and secure a circle of influence. I keep those things in a file, right? I'm not the most organized and structured person in the world, but I've taken the time to write down my philosophy, and I return to it often. And a lot of times when I'm struggling or having a bad day, I'll return to it. So I think that's crucial. Be willing to ask for help. There are people out here who will help you, who will talk to you, who will be independent, help you step through a situation. and then, you know, maybe obvious to us as humans, but build relationships. You can't go wrong by building more and stronger relationships. When things go bad between organizations or across programs, what fixes that is the ability for someone to pick up the phone or walk down the hall or downstairs or across the other building, or maybe even travel across the country and say, hey, I know you. I know we have the right things in mind together and how we focus on this. And so, you know, being able to leverage relationships you build is, you know, just an incredible opportunity.
Thank you for joining this episode of the Fuel Podcast, brought to you by NAVSEA's Propel Leadership Development Program. For more information about Propel, visit the Propel Wiki page. Thanks for adding fuel to propel your journey.